It's good to see everyone here this morning. If you would please open your Bibles, you will need them. If you return to 1 Corinthians 13, we'll start there in a moment. At the 11 o'clock hour, I'll be covering another lesson on faith, and it took me a little bit longer to write it than I thought it would, and I was trying to find another sermon for this hour. I was going through sermons I'd already written and thought, okay, this would be a good one to choose, and I didn't realize that I've basically themed this morning around faith. And this morning, at least at this hour, we're going to talk a few things, a few qualities, a few characteristics that are needed for faith. And the first characteristic that we'll cover is love. And that's why we're turning to 1 Corinthians 13. We'll start there. 1 Corinthians 13. I'm sure this is a passage well known to many. We'll go ahead and read it. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. It is very important that when we have faith, that we must supply it and supplement it with love. For if we have faith, we have a knowledge, we have a belief in God's Word, and we wish to defend God's Word, and we wish to stand by His Word, and we are so bent on trying to make sure that we are obedient to the fullest. But if we have not love, then we are still missing something. If we have not love to show mercy, if we have not love to, when we see a brother or sister that is erring, instead of looking at them, and being judgmental towards them, we ought to instead be looking at them and saying, how can we help them? How can we teach them? How can we admonish them and correct them? Not in a way of saying that, oh, I am superior because I have better faith or that I have faith. But instead, we wish to show that because of our faith, we have love for one another, and we wish for all to be in accordance with God's Word. Even then, we know that God is love. And to have not love is to not abide in Him or to know Him. In 1 John 4 and verse 8. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He has loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. And even then, it is a command of us to love. To not show love to one another is to thereby not fulfill all the commands we are given. John 15, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. And oftentimes when we see this word of full or perfection, it means to be complete. We have to have that love for one another, and to have a love for the brethren, a desire to push one another up towards heaven, a desire to see one another encouraged. Otherwise, we fail one another. Another thing that love needs is a foundation. Let's look at Mark 4 and verse 4. Mark 4 and verse 4. This is a parable that Christ was speaking. And listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell among the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. As we are preaching the gospel and we are trying to teach among the world and among those who are in our spheres of influence, all that we can do is just spread the seed. All we can do is just sow that seed. We cannot change or control what kind of ground, what kind of soil, what kind of foundation will be on the ground of the hearts of those who we speak to. All we can do is plant that seed and hope that there's going to be good soil, good foundation there to receive what is taught. But for us as Christians, we must make sure that we have that strong foundation, a good soil, that as we are wanting to study and are wanting to learn, we allow these things to take hold in our lives. That we, instead, as it says in Romans 12, instead of just simply wanting to learn about these things, that we are transformed by the word of the Lord. That we change our lives and live differently than the world because we are changing our foundation from one that is so shaky that the world has, as they believe in things that there is no evidence for. And they believe in things that pass away. But instead, we know that we have a firm foundation that we can rely upon. And we must make our foundation be that same rock. And speaking of that rock, we'll go to another teaching of Christ in Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. We understand that in these teachings that many times there are symbolism. I forgot the literary term. Allegories, I think. That might not be right. But the idea is that there are things we can draw comparisons to. So as we understand that as we have these thorns, we have these storms, we have these winds that come upon, they are supposed to represent the troubles of life. Because, you know, this life isn't easy. There are times when there are financial troubles, when there are troubles with our friends, with our family. There are troubles with work and our careers. There is so many things going on that can beat us down, things that can discourage us, and things that make us question things. Do we allow those troubles in life to shake our faith? Do we allow those things to be like that storm and blow our faith away because, oh no, there's trouble? Or do we stand planted and have that firm foundation on this rock and have a strong faith so that when the storms come, when the troubles of life come our way, we have that faith to know instead of blaming God or saying that, oh, it's because of this life that I am not sought after. I'm not loved by God. He does not see me. That we say he knows he does see us. He does care for us. And instead we have the faith that can withstand whatever may come our way. And as it mentions that those who hear the words of mine and do them, that leads the next thing that we need to have for faith, which is works. James 2 and verse 14, if you turn with me there, please. James 2 and verse 14. James 2 and verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? He said that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. It is a very damaging thing when you have a life that is incongruent with the faith you profess to have. I know this is an example that I use all the time, but it's the one that sticks out and is the most fitting to me. I remember in school, back in middle school, there's a time when I was coming back from something, going back to my classroom, and I was behind these other classmates in the hallway, and they're laughing and talking and cussing up a storm. And then they get to their classroom, and I still have a way to go down the hallway, and they say, oh, yeah, I'll see you at church tonight. I had to stop and pause and think, wait, hold on. They're here talking about things they shouldn't talk about, cussing up a storm, and then they're going to see each other at church? When you are out in the world and others see the same thing of you, if you're doing the same thing, that you're out drinking, cussing, laughing at their jokes you ought not to laugh at, taking part in activities you ought not to be part of, and then say, oh, hey, I'm be at church. What does that tell others about your faith? What does that show to others who might one day might be curious about what it means to be a Christian, but they say, oh, well, if so-and-so does all these things that I already do, and he's a Christian, well, what's the point of me becoming a Christian? Sounds like it's just extra work. Instead of seeing that, well, he leads a different life. He leads a life that is different than everyone around him. Okay, there might be something to this whole Christianity thing, and I might come to you and ask you, why do you believe the things you believe in? And it might give you an opportunity to be able to spread the gospel just because you live differently, you live faithfully. And we need to show that in our lives. There are many in the other denominations that they will say, oh, well, you said that works are required for salvation. Well, not necessarily. We're not saying that there's anything that we can do of ourselves that can bring about salvation. But we understand that there are works that we ought to do, that we need to do, that are given to us by God that are required for salvation. Turn with me to John chapter 6. John 6 and verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him the God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? Again, here he's asking, what are we to be doing the works of God? Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Having an active faith is indeed a work. Because to have faith is like we covered in James 2. The demons believe God exists. They have a faith. They have a belief in God. But obviously that's not enough. To have a true biblical Christian faith means that you are actively doing the things. You are being obedient to God. It is not simply a belief alone. A fourth characteristic that is needed for faith is that of conviction. As was seen with the storms, with those who have the poor foundation or those who have the shallow or rocky ground, There must be more than just a willingness to accept, a willingness to believe. There must be a willingness to stand ready to defend. In Hebrews 11, verse 1, and of course Hebrews 11 is known as the chapter of faith or the hall of faith. Hebrews 11, verse 1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. And in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, we are told to be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. So as we are supposed to be standing strong in the faith, we are supposed to have this conviction to defend it. We are to stand ready. That as the troubles of life, as those who wish to persecute us come after us, that we are ready to defend our faith against them. And those who might come to us and say, why do you believe the things you believe? That we have an answer for them. In 1 Peter 3, verse 15. 1 Peter 3, 15. But in your hearts honor Christ, the Lord is holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, because we understand that if we are to beat others down as we are trying to teach them the gospel, they most likely not be receiving it well. When we are ready to give a defense, it is not going to be like in a courtroom. When you see on TV how these lawyers are so aggressive and they go after one another and they attack one another, this is not the defense we are ought to be giving. This is the defense of where we are explaining why we have the faith we have, and not trying to tear other people down. Instead, we ought to show that there is love in our faith, and that God is love, and that we are going to be representing Him in that love to others. And we must also be willing, not just be willing, but we have to grow our faith as well. It is often said that as you go through life, there's never a plateau that you can have with your faith. It can perhaps be a plateau for a short time, but it's either you are growing or you are shrinking. We have to be willing to put the work in, and we must be putting the work in, that we keep growing our faith. Matthew 17, verse 20 is written, He said to them, because of your little faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. And it's not saying that we're going to have these supernatural powers in which we can move mountains, obviously. But there are many times when we come across things that are hard to explain, or things that are hard to accept. And it does take a great faith to be able to accept those things and move on. And there's a verse that comes to mind when Jesus has said, blessed are those who see me now in a faith, but what about those who do not see me? Those who come later and they still have faith. Because here we are 2,000 years later after the ministry of Christ, but we have written down for us these historical records, these letters, and they can be confirmed and verified by history, by archaeology. Things that we can know and realize that this is the Word of God, that it is the perfect and complete Word of God. Now we understand that, of course, with translations, there is sometimes things that are lost, things that we have to be careful and use the Bible as a commentary to make sure we interpret everything correctly. But what we have is a perfect record that has been preserved through the millennia. We need to grow our faith, because even as we go through life as a Christian, I know there have been some that think, well, as I get to be old and I see those who have been these stalwart Christians for years, those who are older, those who have been elders and are known for their defense against the gospel, and ask them, oh, you know, when did it get easier? At what point did life get easier? When did it become easier to be a Christian? Was it after, you know, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years? And what I've been told by them is, it doesn't get any easier. Things still come our way. Troubles still come. Yes, there are times when it is easier to have a strong faith to be able to weather those troubles. But life doesn't get easier just because you have a stronger faith. In Luke 17, verse 1, he said to his disciples, "Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea, that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in the day and turns to you seven times saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive him." I have heard it said before that many times when we are trying to spread the gospel to others and we are sitting down with others and studying with them to help them become a Christian, that many times people think, okay, well, once I become a Christian, life becomes easier because now I have access to prayer, I have all these things, and it really doesn't. But that's why we need to have a strong faith and grow that faith. We need to have the understanding that a Christian's life is not going to be easy. But that's in part of why we have one another. That's why the church is set up as it is, so that we can have more than just ourselves to rely on. We have God. We have prayer to go to Him. But we also have our brethren, so that in the times of trouble, we can lean on them and use them for encouragement. And it is important to note that we are all encouraging to one another. Even though you might think, okay, I'm not the most outgoing person, I'm not the most bubbly personality. But many times, even just by your presence being here, for us seeing you here, it is encouraging to know I see another brother here, to know that they are with you, that you are with them. And there are times when it is that because you are there, and it might just be that because you have a conversation, a friendship with that person, that they take strength from that, and they would not be able to if you were not here. And I think we sometimes underestimate the influence, the effect we have on others, thinking, well, I'm not the preacher, I'm not someone who is important to the church. Everyone is important. We all need each other. But there's one thing, and I know we've covered things that faith needs, but there's one thing that is going to need faith. That is salvation. Salvation is impossible without faith. Ephesians 2, verse 8. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We are absolutely saved by grace. We are saved by faith. But understand that it is that grace and that faith and that obedience working together that saves us. And as it says, it is not a result of works. It's not a work that we come up with. There's nothing that we can think of, that we can design, that we can imagine with our human minds that could ever, ever warrant salvation. Instead, what it is that we have works that are set before us, the commands we are given, and it is those things that we ought to be obedient in that is required here. Faith is also going to require confession for salvation. But what does it say? The word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Also, faith along with baptism. Even Simon himself believed. And after being baptized, he continued with Philip. And seeing signs and great miracles performed, he was amazed. And lastly, faith along with repentance is needed. Mark 1, verse 15, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Faith is absolutely crucial to the Christian life, to the Christian in general. We must seek to have our faith supplied with love, with growth, with works. with humility, with all these things. We covered so much in 1 Corinthians 13 of what is needed for faith. Let us seek that as we go through this week, this new week before us, as we seek to go through our life, that we do not allow our faith to waver, to let it grow weak, to let it fall by the side, but instead let us seek to make sure we're doing what we ought to do to show that we have true, proper biblical faith and to grow that faith. And this time we wish to offer an invitation for those who are here, that if there's anyone here who is not put on Christ in baptism, who has been studying and is ready to take the next step, or perhaps you are here and once you know what to do next, you are at that starting point of, okay, what does it mean to be a Christian? We stand ready and willing to study with you. We want to help you however we can. Perhaps there's anyone here this morning that is a Christian and has had struggles with whatever in this life that they are needing encouragement, whether it is for physical things, spiritual things. If there's anything you can do for you, for a spiritual nation, please come forward now and stand and sing.